Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Robbie Stanley and the great and wonderful Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. This beautiful Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
The sun did actually come up today.
And Steve, you made a great point. We thought the last two games or the last 2 days are weird. Today's Friday the 13th. That's kind of terrifying.
What else can go wrong?
I don't know if we want to find out the answer to that
question. I'm not sure I want to get in my car and drive home at the end of the show. May just join Willie and Darren and Chase. I'll just stick around.
All day long, Steve Lehman on the radio.
It'll be Saturday the 14th. I'll finally leave.
That's right. We did get a text message in on the text line that says, we still have cornhole and curling. So thank God for cornhole still being out there. Yeah. They did put like the bags championship last summer, I think it was, on ESPN. I was captivated. I was watching that thing for like an hour and a half straight.
Yeah.
It'll get you going.
I'd be happy to play bags.
Absolutely.
Looks like a good day outside. I mean, I could be involved.
That's right. Well, we bring in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
You're really well.
You're practicing excellent social distancing doing this over the phone this
morning. That's right.
Yeah, it's I guess it's going to be a habitual thing for us in the near future.
Yeah, it's been crazy. TD, what's kind of been your reaction? Like, we've talked about it all morning, the NBA suspending their season, the NHL, pretty much every sport following suit, either suspending or canceling their seasons. What's been your reaction as you've watched all of this unfold?
Yeah, sometimes I just sit there and just think, like, wow, it's crazy, you know? And it's like, you know, one of those old movies, like Outbreak or Carriers or something crazy like that. And it's just, you know, you just, my reaction is I'm just ready for it to boil over and just hoping everybody could push through it and we can get back to our normal lives. But even still, I mean, the importance of washing your hands frequently and taking care of yourself, it's imperative.
Yeah, it most certainly is. Teron Davenport here with us on ESPN Radio 102.5 The Game. Teron, the NFL is the one league to this point that, at least in the way it's operating, doesn't necessarily to be affected. I know that the Titans have essentially closed the building to non-essential work personnel. A lot of teams around the league have suspended travel. The league owners' meetings have been suspended or even canceled at this point. But in terms of how they're going to operate, there's still a collective bargaining agreement that's going to be voted on by the end of the day tomorrow. You've got franchise tags coming out on Monday. You have free agency and the new league year starting on Wednesday. How important is that, I guess, for your sanity and work and for all of us at this point, that the NFL has some level or some semblance of normalcy during this time?
Yeah, I think it's huge because in a time like this where so much is going on, that's all you want, right? It's just some kind of normalcy. So to see that be something that isn't entirely disruptive, it's really good. And I mean, like for me, for work, it keeps me busy, right? Because there's still things to look out for, still things to report, still things to analyze. So that's a good thing. It's huge because, I mean, I personally, that's what I need. Like, I need some type of sense of normalcy, yeah, as opposed to seeing just how much everything is disruptive. I mean, even Disneyland closed, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. Teron, obviously the Titans made a couple moves yesterday. It was announced they're not going to bring back Deion Lewis. I think everybody saw that coming. Cam Wake as well was released. Some people thought maybe there was a chance they could bring Cam Wake back. The Titans ultimately deciding not to do that. What was your reaction to the moves the Titans made yesterday?
Well, like you said, Lewis one was expected. Cam Wake, that one just gives me the feeling that they're going to bring in a free agent pass rusher. You know, whether it's shooting for the stars with Clowney, you know, who obviously has ties to Mike Vrabel from the past, whether it's that or it's doing what I would suggest and bringing in Marcus Golden. That one way or the other, I think they're going to bring in a veteran guy because you just this crew that they have now, you can't just stick with them and a rookie, right? I don't think it's going to work. So you really have to bring somebody in. That's one way to look at it. But then in addition, it could be money that they freed up to get ready to make this run for Tannehill and bring back Derrick Henry. You know, there are a lot of things that you could conclusions as you could draw from it. But really, the bottom line is I think these are moves that were made to open up other moves. Now, what those moves are, it remains to be seen.
Teron, as we approach the tag deadline on Monday and then free agency, obviously this has the makings of the most active offseason the Titans have had maybe ever since moving here to Tennessee. But as you look at it, who's the most likely tag candidate for this team on Monday? Do you think that's going to happen? And what are the chances with the big four, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Jack Conklin, Logan Ryan, what are the chances each of those guys are back or are not back next season?
Yeah, I think the candidate to be tagged would be Derrick Henry. I think he's the most likely, but I really don't think they're going to use a tag. I think they're working on deals for both Henry and Ryan Tannehill. So I would say Henry, I would say a 90% chance that he's back. And it's just absolute. You have to have Derrick Henry in the fold. I don't care who's the quarterback. You have to have him. Now, as far as Tannehill is concerned, I would probably say 70-30. All things are pointed, I'm really focused on getting a deal done with him. I just don't know if I was the GM, if I was the organization, I don't know if I'm going $30 million. You know, and no disrespect to Tannehill, but I don't know if that's what I'm doing. You know, so that's something I'm sure they're trying to figure out. Jack Conklin, I think he's gone. I really do. And you look at they brought Josh Jones from Houston in for a top 30 visit. I know they have interest in some other offensive linemen as well, right tackle specifically. So I'm kind of looking at that like as if he's gone. Logan Ryan is an interesting one. I don't know. You know, because of all the things he does and the presence he has in the locker room and his play on the field, you would like to see him back, right? But I would say it's probably 50-50 right now with Logan Ryan.
I think he's the most intriguing one to me.
Yeah.
And if you bring him back, right? I mean, let's look at it. Okay, do you feel that Logan Ryan could give you the same level of play or same contribution as Malcolm Butler?
I do. Yeah, I think he's been better ever since they've been here, frankly.
Yeah. So what does that mean? The number has to start at like 12, 13.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's the big issue that they're going to have to figure out.
Yeah. How expensive is it to lose a guy like that in the locker room, I think, is the flip side. Because as good as he was on the field last year, and I think you can make an argument around that he was the MVP of the defense last year, he is every bit that valuable in the locker room as one of those guys. But I don't know how you quantify that. You know, you put money on production, but there is a level of value in that guy in the locker room. I just don't know what number that is.
No, that's an excellent point. And that's the thing. Even in one of our 32 for 32 NFL Nation posts, you know, collectively that we did, I mentioned him as the MVP of the defense. So we are sharing a brain on that one. And the thing is that leadership, that you know, getting people lined up, that being that guy, when they brought him in, Tremaine Brock spent most of practice next to Logan Ryan, because Logan Ryan was the one who, you know, gave him a briefing on the defense and got him up to speed. That says a lot right there.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us. Teron, last thing for you here. Delanie Walker sent out an interesting tweet yesterday. Basically, as you put it, I really like the way you put it, showing the receipts of what he had from 2013 to 2017 and the stats that he had. What do you think the future looks like for Delanie Walker? Obviously, two straight years in a row where injuries have just totally derailed his seasons.
Yeah, I think they're looking to renegotiate that deal. I really do. I think they would like to have him back, but not at that number. It was $8 million or so. That's that's not feasible for a guy who, granted, has, as those statistics show, has done a lot for the program, for the team, but they're going to have to get that number reduced. And if it's not reduced, then I think the business side of things is going to show. And a guy who has been one of the best Titans since they moved here is going to be gone if his deal's not redone.
Wow, that's fascinating because you're really the first person that has made it seem like it's possible that they could redo that deal. To me, so that's fascinating if that's the case. I'm going to throw one more at you, Teron, before we go, and it's kind of a two-part question given all the events of the last couple of days. One thing, it's very hard to make predictions of when things are coming back or whatever, but one thing that I feel pretty comfortable of saying is this solidifies to me that the new CBA passes because it shows how vulnerable we all are that things could be taken away from you. And when you're talking about the majority of the league on the low end of the salary scale is getting guaranteed more money right up front, it's, to me, this is a no-brainer now that the CBA passes tomorrow night and we move in front on that. And then do you agree, one? And the second part to this question, based off of the new things, with less travel, less at-facility visits, how much do you think that impacts the Titans as they try to get set for the draft coming up a month and a half from now?
Yeah, well, first question, I do agree. And everybody is overreacting over, J.J. Watt or, whoever is on Twitter saying don't vote it. These are all the high-end players, right? Even the lower-end guys, like you mentioned, they're not out there saying anything. You know what I mean? And there's plenty of them. So, yeah, I agree. It should get voted and get passed. As far as the second part, this is something that I think will give a team like the Titans an advantage because I personally feel that their personnel department, especially John Robinson, you look at some of the other guys that they have in place, they know football, right? So this whole circuit that we have going now, I think you have to really be careful of people who shift their rankings and their whole outlooks on players now, because guess what? No football has been played since December. You see what I'm saying? Or the first week of January. So to change what you're going to be selecting a guy to do, to change, where you're going to select a guy after seeing him not do anything football wise, I think is crazy. So long story short, the true football evaluators, I think, are going to be elevated and have a better draft than those who rely too much on spider charts, rely too much on spark ratings and those type of things. So you'll see. I think the Titans will be just fine.
Teron Davenport has been our guest here on Morning Drive TD. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on with us this morning, man, and glad to have some actual sporting topics to talk with you about.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that, man. You guys take care, be safe, and, we'll get through the whole situation.
You too, TD.
Thanks, TD.
See ya.
He's going to be on speed dial for the next
month.
We need to talk some sports. Where's Teron?
We'll be right back. We'll continue this conversation next. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 taking you through this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Steve, the Deion Lewis stuff came out yesterday. And like Teron said, we all expected Deion Lewis to be cut. We knew he wasn't going to be back with the Titans next year.
Right.
We didn't know that Deion Lewis, apparently he's just gone on like this Twitter blocking spree. Like I was blocked by Deion Lewis. I've never spoken with Deion Lewis in my entire life. And I show up, I try to go to his Twitter profile yesterday, and all of a sudden I look around and Deion Lewis has blocked me. Now, I've probably said things on Twitter about how he's essentially been stealing money from the Titans for 2 years. I'm sure he didn't appreciate that. Yeah. But apparently a lot of Titans fans and a lot of Titans media members, they've just been blocked by Deion Lewis.
Wow.
Who knew?
Yeah. It's
a conspiracy.
That's pretty wild. I can tell you're not missing much. I believe his last tweet was a retweet of a pit play in September. So he's not very active on there. But apparently,
I think he blocks people on Twitter better than he pass blocks on the field.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Okay. See, now that's why you got blocked.
Oh.
That's why you got blocked.
That's okay. He's not here anymore. I don't care.
Right.
Look,
you don't need that access.
If you get paid what Deion Lewis got paid to have the production that he had, which was essentially zero, you can. If I was doing that, you can say whatever you want to on Twitter about me.
Right.
I'll just laugh all the way to the bank. I don't care.
Sure.
That's fine.
Sure. Here's the deal. Deion Lewis didn't work out in Nashville, but I can't really fault that signing. He was a really good player in New England. At the time, you were done with DeMarco Murray. Derrick Henry certainly hadn't proven himself at this level yet. Signing him, paying him, bringing him in, and figuring that somehow, some way between the two of those guys, you'd come up with a very good running game. And guess what you did? It just turned out to be the other guy who finally figured it out and took off and became one of the best running backs in the NFL. But I think at the time the signing was justified and probably smart. It just didn't work out. And now it's also smart to cut and run and not pay him $5 million over each of the next 2 years.
Yeah, I think we all knew this was going to happen. And there's no question in my mind anyway that when the draft comes around, the running back position is probably at some point going to have to be a position that John Robinson and the Titans evaluate, especially considering, you know, when it gets into third and medium, third and plus, and the odds are pretty good, you've got to throw on that play. Derrick Henry, a lot of times, especially last year, wasn't on the field for that. And
Right. Unless
you completely change his role and leave him on the field all the time, which I think we both believe is unlikely, you're going to need somebody to come in and fill that role better than Deion Lewis does.
As good as Henry is, he is not a complete back in that sense.
Right.
He's a great running back. He's not an all-around back necessarily. And so I do think you probably are going to have somebody that fills kind of that Deion Lewis role. But the other thing is, I just don't know you can play that many plays. That's going to be something that the Titans have to deal with. Derrick Henry is going to be a huge part of this offense moving forward with them, obviously. But can he run 400 times a season? For how long?
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, is you're about to invest in him, and it's going to be big money over a long period of time, and you need him to exist and thrive for that long period of time. I don't know if you can afford to give him 400 carries a season. And if you are giving him that many, then also expect him to pass block and take the beating doing that as well. So they're going to need to bring someone in who can give them 300-400 yards a season and serve that other role as well.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting decision. Where does John Robinson believe that's the most valuable position in the draft to do that? Do you bring in a free agent running back and try to get him on the cheap? I think the draft probably the most likely option where that happens, but certainly going to be interesting to see what John Robinson does there. And we wish Deion Lewis a nice farewell here from Nashville. I'd like to say I could keep up with him in his next ventures, but I can't because I won't be able to see his Twitter and his mentions and whatever he does on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which apparently, according to you, you're not blocked. How did you survive this?
I don't know. I guess I didn't criticize him enough on
Twitter.
Wow.
I never tagged him in anything. That means he's a name searcher.
Right.
He's one of those.
Right.
Oh, I don't have much
patience
for that.
That's the worst.
There are a few athletes out there do a little bit of name searching.
Yeah.
Come on. Do you not have anything better to do?
Yeah. No, seriously. Seriously. If you are name searching yourself, oh my, just stop. There's nothing good. First off, there's not really anything good that comes from social media in the first place.
Yeah.
But to actually name search yourself to seek out criticism, that's not healthy.
Yeah. And TD apparently sends in and says Cam Akers and Eno Benjamin are very strong candidates for running back spots as well.
I love Cam Akers, by the way. Love him. So,
and like a lot of people, and we even had had a discussion on the show earlier this week about like Jonathan Taylor. Like if the right guy is there, and I think I forget who we were talking to earlier this week about it, but they said, you know, if you can't get a deal done with Derrick Henry, do you consider maybe in the first round going after a guy like Jonathan Taylor and then, you know, getting a cheap running back contract in that way, maybe freeing up some money elsewhere to address, you know, the pass rusher. Maybe at that point you can somewhat maybe keep Jack Conklin. I mean, that's the most unlikely route, I think, to go. But it did get me, it did get the wheels turning a little bit in my mind.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head there. I just think Henry is such a vital piece of the offense. Now, if you tell me Ryan Tannehill's not back, I can start to follow the logic of things there. But Derrick Henry he's the offense. He's what they do.
He is.
They ran him 400 times last year. He led the league in rushing. He was basically a 200-yard-a-game guy at the end of the season as they really went on their run. You can't afford to not bring him back. He is who you are, and I don't think you can upgrade enough positions to make up for not bringing him back.
Oh, I think you're right. And look, TD put it at 90% in the last segment that Derrick Henry's back. I think that's probably minimum. I'd probably go 95, 99% that Derrick Henry is back next year, because just, I think the Titans know, like, he has to be.
Well, and their season tickets are based off of that. I mean, he's the most popular person on the team at this point.
Oh, for
he's
sure.
What people are coming out to see. He's the reason they got to the AFC Championship game. And John Robinson and Mike Vrabel aren't stupid. They understand that. And how unpopular they would be if they don't bring him back. So Derrick Henry, that's one thing I'm very confident sitting here saying. Derrick Henry is going to be on this team,
yep.
And he's going to be a focal point of this team. Now, how it goes the rest of the way, that's going to be interesting to watch next week. But Derrick Henry is going to be back.
We've spent all morning talking about the coronavirus and the effect it's had on sports and the NHL. We'll bring in the great Terry Crist for his perspective coming up next. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 taking you through what is a strange, strange day in the world of professional sports.
Wow.
The NHL included. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in the legendary Terry Crist, brought to you by Highland Group. Crispy, what's going on, brother?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm like everybody else. You get up in the morning, turn on the TV or the radio, and listen to what's going on around you and say, yep, another one's going down, or whatever they're doing to make things happen. And again, I'm just a layman in all of this, so I'm like probably the more.
So am I, by the way.
That was nice.
Out there trying to figure it out and absorb it and try not to panic or get caught up in all the wash of what's happening and going on down. And I guess like everybody else, just hoping and praying that nobody gets sick. You don't hear of any more outbreaks or whatever. So you know what? I wish I could give you a definitive answer, but I'd be bluffing again.
So, Crispy, what are we going to do for the next month? And can you teach me how to ice fish or something like that between now and then?
No, believe me, you do not want to go ice fishing. Well, unless you got your buddy Jack with you. You got good company and you're all right or whatever. You know, it's amazing. My wife and I sitting here talking of the, and I say trickle-down effect, but it's more like a full torrent effect coming down when you think about what's happening when they start closing down businesses and schools and then sporting events, et cetera. It just starts to boggle your mind. And then the first thing that you just said is, well, what are we going to do? And then we get a call this morning on our text from Fox saying, you know, of all the sports that they're interested in, what are they going to do now? What happened from that end of it? And it just goes on and on and on. And again, I said, you know what? I tried to listen to you guys and everybody else out there trying to give me a hint just which direction we're heading in.
Crispy, what's your reaction, man? Obviously, Wednesday night, the NBA postpones their season. We knew probably yesterday at some point the NHL was going to follow suit, and they did. What was your reaction when you saw that the NHL, for the time being, is going to postpone their season?
Common sense. It just makes common sense because it's not going to just go away by itself. And I would imagine they're looking at the long term. It's the fact that if you just keep adding 20,000 people to a building continually in every sport, the chance of it spreading or the chance of catching it or whatever just keeps maximizing and getting worse and worse. So when I look at it from, like I said, my little wee platform where I sit is, to me it makes sense that if you keep poking the bear with a stick, the bear is eventually going to bite you or claw you. So I would imagine that, and think about it, you guys are in the business, these people just can't sit down lightly and start closing businesses and stores and et cetera, from the point of view of it's a business to make money and to get people in and money. So, like I said, it's way beyond my payroll.
Terry Crist joining us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So the NHL and all these leagues essentially say the earliest they would come back is 30 days, which is just after when the NHL regular season is scheduled to end. We would be starting the playoffs at that point. My number one question for you, Terry, is the Predators, for instance, say they want their guys away from the arena, away from each other, self-isolating and making sure they're healthy and that other people are healthy at the same time. If they're not actively practicing right now, maybe they're working out on their own and all that sort of thing, how quickly can you get a league back up and running, especially if you're going to try to jump straight in and maybe play playoff hockey at that point?
Oh, man, you know what? That to me looks like I would hate to have to be one of the players. Well, I just should say I hate. I don't know you want to be one of the players to have to do that because you're looking for injuries. I mean, yeah, they're gonna do their own workouts in their own houses, in their own gyms set up, et cetera. I'm not sure about the end of it of practicing on ice, where how you would work that in. Four or five of the guys get together and red ice possibly could happen, but you want to have a whole team doing it. And to me, the biggest thing would be so susceptible to injuries because you're going to jump on the ice, you're going to go full bore, and if you don't, you're going to get hurt anyway. You're trying to avoid it. It would just be, I don't know, a mess. It would be a mess, and I'm not sure what kind of a product. But again, if they've got to get it done and go back to it in 30 days, the players themselves will have to ascertain as to how they do that.
Crispy, I think one of the main things I heard from fans yesterday, obviously they understand the situation and why the NHL made the move that it did, but maybe the most frustrating part for Predators fans was it felt like the team was maybe starting to turn it around a little bit. They were playing with some physicality. They, you know, back-to-back shutouts in Dallas, a big win the other night in Montreal. What were you noticing that maybe was different about the Predators before, unfortunately for everyone, this decision was made by the NHL?
Probably more jump, more pizzazz, more desire, more passion, more getting involved in the game, having that famous phrase that the coaches have all been using, more pushback to our game. And I was looking at it, and it sure didn't hurt when you added Holzer and Tenorti and Trennan to our lineup. And it gave a lot of guys nerve to play a little better game than they were playing, a little more physical game than they were playing. And then suddenly, young Saros, UC Saros, the goaltender, the little guy, he catches on fire. And let's be honest, looking at a lot of those games, I love the way we're trending. I like the way we were heading. I liked a lot of it. In three of those games, we won 2-0, 1-0, 4-2. I loved the first two periods, but our guys in the third period go into a shell, start backing up. Quit it. And the thing that saved us was Saros in those games. So I'm not fooling myself, and I hope they're not fooling themselves when they look at those tapes and say, yeah, I like the 40 minutes. Remember our cry used to be, let's play a full 60 minutes? I'd take the wins. I like the way we were heading. Well, I figured we were playoff bound. But I want to cure the last 8 to 10 minutes of each of those games.
Crispy, I sat with you a week ago yesterday, I guess, before the first Stars game at Bridgestone Arena, and I asked you point blank, given what we'd seen recently with UC Saros playing a little bit more than Pekka, and I know Pekka had the illness in there as well, which was part of it. I said, are we seeing the changing of the guard, so to speak, and as you see the guy? And at the point, we sort of both agreed that the ceiling for this team is maybe at its highest if Pekka would reassert himself as the guy, but since then, it's been all UC, and he's been phenomenal. Have you changed your tune on that since we last talked?
No, I have not. I still maintain that Pekarini, when we come down the stretch run ahead of the playoffs, I love Saros, and it's his time possibly, and Pek will be. But I still hinge as a coach, run the hot tray like the coach is. Saros is hot hand, you run him. But he's going to get tired. He's going to you can't overwork him. And we're going to need Pekarini. And to such time as Pekka proves to me consistently that he's not capable, I'm still on his saddle.
Crispy, last thing for you here. Obviously, we don't know when the NHL is going to return. What's on the docket for you here over the next little bit, and how quickly do you think Sheila will kick you out of the house?
Like in an hour? As soon as I finish my next cup of coffee.
He's got plans for 10 a.m. already.
Oh man, it's just, you know what, you everything, like, we had a lot of people coming in and friends for these three games coming in, etc., like everybody else. Your plans are changed. You guys also, you know. And what do you do with your children? Like, if you have, we don't have children, so we're like, but I keep looking at families that have their children and want to protect them. It's just, you know, I guess the biggest thing is going to keep us going is common sense. Just let's stick to common sense, and let's don't start, everybody start to panic. We went over the other day, my wife and I, to get a couple things at the grocery store, and we looked down the aisle, and we took some pictures to send home. Nothing in the aisles, just bare, especially with the facial tissues and the toilet paper and the towel paper towels. And I said, I said, it's jumping on us already. So I guess the biggest thing is common sense, and as we always do, we'll all get through this together.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Crispy, it was a pleasure as always. Thanks so much and be safe.
Thanks, fellas. You too and your families all stay healthy too and look after them.
Thank you, Crispy.
Thanks, Crispy.
Thanks, guys.
Terry Crisp brought to you each and every week by Highland Group here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Have you put your head around the toilet paper thing?
No, I haven't.
Like, I get wanting to stock up on certain things, but like, are you going to go through more toilet paper in the next month than you normally would?
Like, there are people out there buying like 400 rolls of toilet paper.
Right.
Which is like, okay, how sick do you think you're going to be is my first question. Or how long do you think you're going to be holed up in the house? Like, do you know how long that takes?
400 rolls of I live by myself, so I get their families, bigger things out there. But like 400 rolls of toilet paper would get me through like 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. I mean, that's an incredible amount of toilet paper, and people are just doing it. I get thinking like you need water, though we're not going to run out of water in the coronavirus. But like, I get thinking there's essential things that you might need, or you really want hand sanitizer with you at all times in this. I sort of get that thing. But toilet paper is the one that's what you always see, these viral videos of people stacking toilet paper into their shopping carts. And it's like, how many times are you going to go to the bathroom?
There are literally like 100 things I would buy in the store before toilet paper in this situation. Like yesterday, I went and bought like 2 bags of hot Cheetos. Everybody else was buying, you know, toilet paper. I got some like honey buns and some hot Cheetos. My wife tried to go buy toilet paper on like her break at work. I was like, no, you're not going to be a part of this. I refuse to allow you to do this. We're not feeding into this. It's just not going to happen. So I can't understand it. I really can't.
Neither do I.
I mean, I would buy like Corona beer before I would do this.
Sure.
Even in light of the coronavirus.
I mean, you're the only person buying Corona beer.
Apparently
so they would appreciate that at this point. That's do they change their name after this? I mean, clearly anyone with common sense gets that.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with it.
You know, common sense can be on short circuit. Short notice.
Especially at a time like this.
Yes.
I mean, it was like a month ago. So before anyone was actually like truly concerned about it, when we probably should have been concerned about it, the Google searches for Corona beer virus went up 300,000% or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, it was just, I didn't even know there were enough people to make something go up 300,000%, but it was alarming, to say the least.
Jeremy texts in and says they're buying toilet paper because every time someone sneezes in a group, people poop their pants. That's a dad joke, but I like it. That's good stuff. Yeah. When we come back, Sean Henry had some comments yesterday on what's all going on in the NHL, the cancellation of the SEC tournament, maybe when the NHL could come back, all of these things up in the air. Predators president and CEO Sean Henry addressed the media. We'll hear some comments from that and react to that. That's coming up next. Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 bringing us back in here today on a very weird and strange day in the world of sports and our country.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the NBA's response to this, the NHL, NCAA tournament, all these different entities that have responded to this. Predators president and CEO Sean Henry addressed the media yesterday afternoon talking about the response by the Predators and the NHL and even the SEC tournament yesterday at Bridgestone Arena. Here's what Sean Henry had to say.
In the backdrop of the SEC making those decisions, we were having those same meetings and conversations with NHL, conference calls in mass and then in smaller groups. And again, our goal was not to play in front of empty buildings, but just have a very healthy community and play our games. But obviously that was not an alternative. So we're making the switch to play in front of an empty building. So obviously the move that we made and taking a pause in the season. Again, it wasn't easy. It's not fun. It's the last thing you want to talk about, but it's the right thing that's happening right now. Our goal is pretty simple. As much as we love our games, pick the community up, but give everyone a chance to get away from each other to a degree, from our players to our employees, obviously to our fans, and self-isolate to some degree to make sure that when we come out of this pause, and I don't know how long the pause will be, none of us do, but the goal is pretty simple, to get back to what we all love, a normal, healthy community where our team gets a chance to bring people's spirits up, ideally play some regular season games, go into the playoffs and compete for the ultimate prize. But it's not easy. It's not fun. A lot of times the people that are lost, when we talk about canceling a concert, moving a concert, missing the playoffs, a lockout or a pause, our employees, our event staff are the people that make us what we are. We're given a lot of accolades for being the very best sports team in all sports, the most fun atmosphere, all those great things. We are because of the people that choose to work here in the evening, whether it's a second job, away from the home job, a retirement job, an after-school job, or your main source of income job. It's something they all rely on. And without events for a period of time, they're all going to be hurting. So what we made the decision to do, at least through the weekend, through the scheduled event of the SEC, any confirmed shifts that people had from a part-time standpoint, we're going to make them whole in those and pay them for those shifts. And then we'll look at the rest of the remaining month going into April for what events will be missed as well, and build a plan or a program to try to do the same thing throughout that. They really are the heroes of what we do each and every day. They're the pulse beat of what we are. So we just think it's the right thing to do. We don't have that plan fully baked right now, but we want to make sure that we try to do the right thing for all of them. When you look at what events are still scheduled, we have quite a few of them through mid-April. We're working with every tour, every manager, agent, and the acts themselves of moving those shows. We've already, I think, moved Pearl Jam and Zac Brown Band. The next show that we have scheduled is a week from tomorrow, which gives us some time to continue to work with them and do what's right. We have a show the following week, and then we go into somewhat of a slow pause for us anyway, for an event standpoint. But as long as we're under the conditions we are right now, we're going to work to move any event that we need to give the longest break that we have to have. And ideally, we all want the same thing. The shortest break that we have to have, because it'll mean good things for all of us. We'll have some normalcy in how the infective community is going and how that's growing or shrinking.
That was Predators president and CEO Sean Henry addressing the media yesterday. And Steve, much like the rest of us, nobody really has a clear idea of when exactly action in the NHL or the NBA or really anywhere for that matter is going to return for the foreseeable future. But a really cool thing that Sean Henry did say there in terms of, employees that were scheduled to work this weekend at the SEC tournament, still being able to pay them and hopefully finding ways to get them, whether it's volunteer work or whatever the case may be, as they move ahead here in the coming weeks and potentially months, to still be hopefully, financially compensated in some way for doing some sort of service when a lot of people right now rely on these games and these events to make their living.
Yeah, awesome gesture by Sean Henry and the Predators, their organization, their ownership group, to be able to do that. And I don't think it surprises anybody because they've been so good in the community, so good for their fans, so good in that building for a long time. It's a really, really cool gesture because we've talked about it before this morning, but those are kind of the people that my heart immediately gravitates towards after the last couple of days. Now, everybody in the country is dealing with something because of this. And obviously you worry first and foremost about the people who are sick or are going to get sick through this tragedy. But when you start canceling events like this, there are a lot of people who are affected by that. When you change society as a whole in terms of where you can go and what you can do and what events can go on, people start losing income. People start finding or losing other outlets of what they want to do with things. And so you want those people to be whole or as close to whole as possible, and the Predators reaching out in this way at least eases some of that burden.
Yeah, and look, we don't know how long this is going to last, and hopefully the impact on all of us is very short and very minimal, but I think it's fair to at least consider the possibility at this point that we don't know. We've talked all morning long. Maybe the NHL and the NBA, they resume play you know, in the early part of April. That's probably the best case scenario at this point. But they have left the door open to the possibility of, you know, maybe it is May or June even before you start to have these possibilities of coming back and playing again. I mean, I think that's the crazy part right now. It's hard to really, you know, nail down a specific way you're going to respond and kind of resume play once it happens, because you don't know exactly when you're going to be able to. Like, usually when things like this happen, and I shouldn't say things like this because things like this specifically have never happened in our country, but usually there's like a set agenda of what's going to take place. So you have time to plan. You have time to come up with contingency plans. This all came about in a relatively short amount of time, and I think the NBA and the NHL both are kind of reacting on the fly here.
Yeah, and that's why I really appreciate the language the NHL actually used, is they said we're putting a pause on the season, because that truly is what it is. At this point, they're not canceling anything. They're just saying we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
And if we can come back on April 1st, we'll come back on April 1st. If it's May 1st, we'll come back May 1st. And if it's later than that, then we'll reconvene and figure what else is out there. And he left open the possibility that, frankly, the start of next season could be delayed by this.
Yeah.
Now, I think we all hope it doesn't get nearly that drastic, but you never know in this situation. I think that's the one thing we've learned, maybe above all else, over the last week, is you just simply do not know. And I guess with the tornadoes here, specifically in Middle Tennessee, you just don't know day to day in life. But even with this virus in the last few days, it's pretty clear that the information we had yesterday can very easily change. And the information we're waking up with today could very easily change by midday, or certainly by tomorrow or next week or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. And to that point, I mean, I'm thankful. I mean, I know we had, you know, we spent all last week, you know, talking about the tornadoes and the relief efforts going on. This week has largely been dominated by the coronavirus. A lot of people locally yesterday were very nervous because it looked like we might have some weather coming into our area again last night. Thankfully, it didn't turn out to be severe like it was last week, but just a lot going on right now in our community. It's been an interesting time, especially, you know, we're a sports talk show. We like to talk about what's happening on the field, on the ice, what we think might happen with the Titans coming up at free agency, which we'll certainly continue to do and continue to get to, but this whole last week or so for me has been a pretty sobering reminder of, yeah, we love sports, but there's a lot out there that's ultimately more important.
Oh, yeah. Life is fragile. I think we all definitely understand that in a way that's just different today than it was 15 days ago or something like that. And for me, it's been emotionally exhausting the last couple of weeks. And honestly, really, yesterday, I was just numb.
Yeah.
I think I was still numb from the week before, honestly, going through the coverage of the tornadoes and then being out and serving in various parts of the city, specifically in North Nashville. There was a lot of uplifting moments of that. But to see the devastation and understand how long it's going to take to truly rebuild and get those areas back to what they were and those people whole again, it's draining.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was just starting to get over that this week and thinking to myself, oh, thank heavens, it's my favorite time of the year, March Madness, and we've got the SEC tournament here this weekend, and then the bracket comes out and all of that. And to have all of that just pulled out from under you in a way that felt like it was overnight. By the time we got to yesterday, I was just numb. It was like, what's going to happen next? And I mean, I joked last night, and at this point, I think that's all you can do is try to keep a smile on your face through it. But I just said, if I see locusts, like, I wouldn't even be surprised at this point.
Oh, look, there they are.
So
they
were just coming. Yeah, that's where we are right now. It's sad.
It is. When we come back, we'll continue to have this discussion. Jay Billis had some interesting comments to the NCAA tournament, canceling their tournament yesterday. We'll get into those. Also, 615-737-1025. If you've got thoughts on what's happened in the world of sports over the last 48 hours, give us your calls. Give us your text messages. We want to hear from you. Also, what are you going to do now that sports isn't an option on a nightly basis when you get home and get off of work? We're all, I think, trying to figure that out together. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumLoan.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.